You know, other day while preparing the sermon, I got on Amazon, which is my home away from home every now and then, under books, and I typed in the word prayer, P-A-R-A-Y-E-R. Do you know there are thousands upon thousands of books on that subject? It just about blew me out of my chair, just thinking about it. There's prayers for everything, from every range, from every religion, not to say Christianity. And I just scratched my head and I said, wow, I mean, I knew prayer is a popular subject. But my question is, if there's so many tools and books on prayer, then why don't we practice it more? Why don't we practice prayer more than we should? And you know, I've always admired the Episcopal Church because they had their Book of Common Prayer, which has been out for 500 plus years. And so they have prayers already in it. But you know, regardless whether you have a prayer book or not, prayer should be a daily habit, not just once a week or every so often when you're having a crisis or you're having something going on. It should be a constant and continual part of your life. You know, small things do matter, at least most of the time. For example, those verses that I read just a little earlier there, they may not be the most profound in the Bible, but they can impact our lives if only we are attentive to those words which can be applied. Prayer, people talk about prayer. People believe in prayer, but spend little time in prayer. Christ was in the zenith of his ministry at this time, and he retreated to the countryside for a time of prayer. Well, apparently Christ didn't travel far enough back into the woods. It's because his disciples tracked him down. And they interrupted and said, you've got work to do. You have a lot of work to do. And told him that his appointment book was full. Well, from the disciples' point of view, enough of this solitary escapism. Time to get back in the real world. People needed him, at least in the eyes of the disciples. Those disciples saw the Savior practicing the discipline of prayer and they should have had the notion to do likewise, but it escaped them altogether. You know, I remember when I was in seminary, I had a number of seminary colleagues, and they would go to these retreat centers and monasteries, St. Mildred in Indiana, Gethsemane down in Kentucky, and they would go for those weekend prayer retreats. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Gethsemane has a silent monastery, so they don't do much speaking there. But it's interesting that at that time, yours truly was too arrogant to take that on. Now you say, how can you be arrogant about prayer? Well, you're at a point in your life where you think, well, I don't need that. I'm self-sufficient. Do you know, I really feel like that I probably robbed myself of some enriching spirituality by not going with some of those friends. Why? Because it would have taught me some things that I could have learned and probably applied better. Now, I've hopefully made up for it since then. But, you know, what is prayer? And more importantly, what defines prayer for us? Well, each of us should have our own answers to this question because I can't answer for you. We would be much poorer spiritually to abandon our prayer life to only those moments, as I said, when we have a crisis or play the lottery. I think about life in a lot of ways, and you know, prayer is something that we have to work at. It's an easy thing to slip on by. How many times have you ever been praying and the telephone rang? Or somebody would come to the door and knock and you get a little irritated? Well, you know, I've wondered about Christ here, what his expression on his face was when Saint Simon Peter, James and John, all of them came running up to him and said, hey, you got to get out of here. You need to get busy. You know, he was a little irked about that, but the Bible doesn't say what his reaction was. But I think it's interesting that I used to get upset when the phone would ring and I'd be in prayer or Bible reading. But you know what? I came to the conclusion those interruptions may be God sent too. And I got over that and I said, well, you know what? God, you don't have to put God on hold. God will be there as soon as the phone call's over. So don't get too frustrated if you get interrupted with that. But, you know, though these events are occasions for prayer, too, as far as different reasons why we should have a designated prayer time, but it's also a time to explore and be creative about it. I found a prayer list that, I guess it's 8 or 9 years old. I was sweeping out from under the bed, and I have no idea why the index card was under my bed, but I remember I used to use a Lutheran prayer book. And under that, and it was a card fell out, and there were prayer requests. And I just sat down and looked it over, and I was just amazed at how many prayers for those people that I prayed, and they're answered. And I didn't even think about it. So never underestimate the power of prayer. Prayer is something we all need to do. It will deepen our relationship with God and demands a more determined approach. God works in prayer, through prayer, and because of prayer. But you've heard the old saying, some people put four carts before the horse. Well, you know, I've always, and since I've been in the ministry, I've always been a big believer of missions and social action and different things. Well, now, I may not march down the street, but I'm a big advocate of it. But the foundation of doing those good works lies in the spiritual foundation. You have to pray and read the Bible. You have to lay the foundation. You know, it's like when people build a house or a building, they have to make the foundation. And if they don't, there's not going to be much of a building standing. And that's what I say for people who say, we got to get out there and do this and do that. And my question is, have you prepared yourself spiritually for this? Because if you haven't, it's not really going to work or matter, will it? So always, if you are going to enter some type of a mission or something like that, pray about it. See if that's what the Lord wants you to do. Don't jump aboard the bandwagon because everybody else is doing it. Do it because it's coming from the heart. And I'm not saying not to give to missions here because it's an important thing. But the thing is, it's when we do things and contribute to different organizations, we should pray if that's where God wants us to put either our money or ourselves. Never forget that. That's where prayer really comes in. But you know, the Lord needed time to get away to a solitary place to recharge his spiritual batteries. How many of us need to recharge our spiritual batteries? We all do. And that is something that Christ demonstrated to us in this scripture, that he was getting away to speak to his heavenly Father. And you know, it's an absolute necessity for us to do so. Christ visited a quiet, secluded place to revitalize his spiritual life. You say, well, I can't get away out in the woods. Well, you know, you can find a place in your house, a room that's not well used much. You go outside the back porch or front porch or out in the yard, get you a chair. You can find that place if you're really seeking to do so. Or it may just come happenstance. I mean, it may just pop up all of a sudden. Being there in that secluded place allowed Christ to develop the stamina to minister later. If he needed it, don't you think we require spiritual renewal too? Our world is so hectic. Our lives are so tense. You know, a lot of times when you watch the news on these news, I mean, buildings are being blown up, people being blown up. You're seeing all kinds of things with the stock market and all that. And you wonder, what can I do about it? Well, you know what you can do about it? First of all, you can turn the television off and start praying about it. You know, you need that peace inside of you. That is so important. And by the way, nobody can touch that peace because it is something that is God-given. You know, wouldn't it be enjoyable if life slowed down to a snail's pace and we would simply experience the presence of God in our lives? Well, it may or may not happen. Because if you're running late for work, late for a meeting, or you've got some family engagements to do, it's kind of hard between the coffee to find prayer time. But if Christ made the time, we can too. And you know something interesting about all this that Christ did? He maintained a stillness through this. It allowed him as well as us to rediscover our relationship to God. You know, Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." But do we really take that time? Just think about it. If we're not talking to somebody, we've got headphones on, we've got a radio on, we have all kinds of different distractions, but we never allow God to come in to our lives. We try to block God out. And I said, well, is that possible? Well, let's say this, you can give God a detour. And that is something that is spiritually fatal. We need to include God in everything we do. And try to do that this week. To be still before God does not mean to develop a stagnant faith. You say, oh, I have a stagnancy. No, no, no. That's not the reason for all this. Honestly, prayer is spending time with God. It might involve asking for things, thanking God, or even simply being with Him. For us today, with fast-paced lifestyles, it seems almost impossible to consider having a daily devotional life. Many American churches were founded upon the precepts of prayer. Think about that. Good portion were. I imagine the founders of McLeod, they bathed this church in their prayers. Think about that. Also, this might get me in trouble, yes, and there was another aspect. Revivalism was a big thing in churches years ago. And in fact, those who do remember revivals, they know that they were not quiet moments. They're pretty noisy. But now, I'm not saying get them back in or anything, but those revivals did begin with people praying. We need to pray. We need renewal. If we don't, the churches all over our country are shriveling up, and I think it's due to a lack of prayer. Today, people of faith appear to be running on vapors rather than the ignition sparks from the Holy Spirit. We rarely find God in the hectic moments, but we often discover God in those quiet interludes, which reminds me of what Mother Teresa said years ago. God is rarely found in the midst of noise and restlessness. Instead, God is the friend of silence. Think about that. But sometimes we don't like silence, do we? I was at a church service one time, and the minister said, let's bow our heads for about 2 minutes in silence. I want you to know it got very, very uncomfortable to be in silence. Silence is scary. But you know what? You can get out by yourself and be silent. You don't have to be around people to do that. But praying is a habit. It must be practiced and not neglected. What happens if you neglect your automobile, your SUV, your truck? After a while, it's going to start having dings and clings and everything else wrong with it. So that's the same way with the lack of prayer. We're going to start having dings and clings and pings and all that. And we have to keep our prayer life well-oiled. You know, there was once a catchy slogan, and it was very popular, prayer changes things. Well, it is very true, but prayer also transforms the person who is doing the praying. Don't try to change your person sitting next to you, or your neighbor, your spouse, your siblings, your parents. Try to make sure that prayer is changing you. Look closely at yourself. Inventory some issues relevant to your life and observe how they have evolved since you started praying. God creates the miraculous when we pray with amazing and surprising results. Most of the time, people are unaware of the blessings God has given them. It's almost an afterthought, and remember that blessings were given for us to receive them from a generous Lord. How many of us forget to thank God for blessings that He has given us? We're all guilty of it. We may thank God a lot, but sometimes we do forget because, guess what? We're too busy to thank God. And so we need to keep that in mind. God gives us blessings a lot of times, as I said, that we're even unaware of. So thank God for the unaware blessings as well. It's almost an afterthought in remembering that blessings were given for us to receive them from a generous Lord. A steady, consistent prayer life has some significant benefits. Prayer enlightens or illuminates our hearts and minds upon the concept of grace. And we know grace is God's love that is unearned, but given to us because He loves us conditionally. Have you ever seen those videos on YouTube or Facebook where it shows a G.I. returning home and surprising his loved ones? He'll walk through the kitchen door or in a restaurant or somewhere, and some of them scream at the top of their lungs, and the fellow, be a male or a female, the people are just joyful to see them. And I want to say, and some of them haven't been gone but a month or two. I thought, well, if they'd been to Iwo Jima, I would have been rejoicing. But anyway, just think about that. See a loved one and what they do, the joy that is unconditional. But the one I liked the best was the GI walked in and his dog came running to him and literally knocked him down crying and licking him and everything. And I was just thinking, that's the way most pets are. They love us unconditionally, whereas human beings set their own rules and regulations. So sometimes just think about pets you've had or even you've seen pets and think, well, if they can love somebody, so can I. And so through discovering grace as found in prayer, we can become less judgmental and see our own inadequacies more clearly. Having problems with someone, it can be a neighbor, it can be a schoolmate, it can be anything. We'll say a little prayer for them. God does change things. Just believe it. God can change anything He wants to do. Alas, we don't require perfection in ourselves or in our others, and we shouldn't. We become tolerant of human failure and frailty because everyone falls short of so many virtues in the eyes of God. But I've known people, and you do too, they think they've never stumbled or made a mistake. You know people like that? I have. And sometimes, hey, before we point a finger, we better be careful because we've done the same thing. We act like, well, thank God I'm not like they are. But let me tell you something. Well, we may not be, but we've got some things that we need to let God help us out with. Remember that. It is through continually seeking forgiveness for our sins and transgressions that our lives are truly changed. As we take the Lord's Supper today, think about it as a time that we can change and ask forgiveness and seek repentance at the table. That's why our Lord created and established this sacrament. It's for our benefit. So when you partake, remember, it's for our benefit, not for anyone. It's for everybody else. But at that moment, we can say, thank you, God, for helping me in all things possible there. But you know, there is forgiveness, peace, and salvation in all this. Such a perspective is found in regular prayer. And prayer is also action. I always remember a woman told me in my first church, she says, never forget. Put feet on your prayers. If somebody needs something, you can pray for them, that somebody provide them with a loaf of bread. Well, maybe you're the person, you should go out and buy them a loaf of bread if they need it. Don't just fold your arms up and say, well, God, I've done my part, now it's time to do yours. Perhaps God wants us to continue and follow through with that prayer. You never know what God can use us for if we will just only be open to Him. Some of you have heard of them. They're in New Orleans. They've been there over 300 years. The Ursuline Sisters. They're a convent down there in New Orleans. They've been dedicated to serving people down there from France, as I said, for over 300 years. And their story is amazing and inspirational because they've had to deal with yellow fever, malaria, hurricanes, Hurricane Katrina. They were right there ministering to the people of New Orleans after that hurricane hit. They provided the city with hospitals, schools, and as I said, assisted so many of the needy people there. But you know, their greatest strength and secret is prayer. They're not wealthy. They've never been wealthy. But God has provided for them through the centuries. You know, this is a little known fact, and some of you who love history like I do know that during the War of 1812, New Orleans was being invaded by the British. They had 7,000 men ready to storm the city. And there was not much they could do. General Jackson, Andrew Jackson, had gathered his polyglot American army, consisted of Kentuckians, Tennesseans, French and Spanish Creoles, Choctaw Indians, and privateer Jean Lafitte and his pirates. Now, you talk about a mixture. That was an alliance before there was such a thing as the NATO or the United Nations. Think about that. All this, these people of diverse backgrounds together to defend this city from the British. And I think that's an interesting thing. And guess what did the Ursuline sisters do at the convent during this crucial period? They relentlessly prayed for an American victory. And after the British were defeated, the first thing General Jackson did was, guess what? He rode his horse over to the convent and got down off his horse and personally thanked every one of those nuns for their prayers, because Jackson was believed without a shadow of a doubt that their prayers was what saved New Orleans. Not so much musket and ball, but God was there and answered their prayers. Prayer is the most important act we may ever accomplish. A man told me over at Fort Meade today, I didn't know this, the British general was killed in that battle. And his wife wanted his body back. You know what they did? They put him in a barrel of rum and shipped him back to England. I don't know if anybody would have drunk the rum afterwards, but I'm sure. They say his grave still reeks of a little rum if you walk by it. But anyway, I didn't know about that, so that's interesting, that I don't think I'd want to be buried in rum. But anyway, but prayer brings actions, results, and most of all, a changed attitude called peace with God in our hearts. And do you know, nobody can take peace away from you. Nobody can. It can't be, you can't be bribed, it can't be stolen. But to have peace which passes all understanding, as our scripture says, is more important than anything in the world. Think God doesn't hear? Try praying and witness the answers or responses from God. Never forget, spirituality and faith renewal is only a prayer away. Let us pray. Lord, when we feel like we're spiritually running on empty, we know we can count upon you. But, oh Lord, give us signs that we shouldn't be at that point, that we can daily pray and have our spiritual life and faith journey renewed continually. Guide and lead us, O Lord. Watch over us and help us. May we be powerhouses of prayer in our community, as the Ursuline sisters were in New Orleans. Be with us, O Lord, through all things. We ask this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.